I'll start reading in verse 20 and read to the end of the chapter and deal with these verses this evening. Now Job is speaking to God, pleading with God, and he said in verse 20, "Only do not two things unto me, then will I not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Wherefore hidest thou thy face, and holdest me for thine enemy? Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro, and wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks, and lookest narrowly unto all my paths. Thou settest a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth as a garment that is moth eaten." Job didn't want to reason and argue with his friends anymore. He wanted to deal with God and have God to deal with him. You remember what he said about him up here in this 13th chapter in verse 3. Look what he said. "Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you are forgers of lies. You're all physicians of no value. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom." So he talked to these people, said, "I'm sick of you, I'm tired of you, I'm tired of what you're saying." And he knew that God would be his justification. Ain't that what he says there? In verse 18 of this chapter, "Behold now, I've ordered my cause. It's laid out. And I know that I shall be justified." You know, if God justifies you, who can be against you? And that's what he's saying here. My justification has to be before God. God's the only one that can justify me, clear me, take care of my sin, my iniquity. And then he says not only that, but he said God is his salvation. Down in verse 16, he also shall be my salvation. So he said he's my justification, he's my salvation. And he now turns and begins to plead with God, begins to plead with God, to talk with God. He's come to address the eternal, infinite God. And you know, we all come and we come before the Lord. That's who we're coming before, someone who is eternal and infinite. That he's got all the power. He's got all the grace. He's got all the mercy. He's got all the ability. And that's why Hebrews 4:16 says this, "Let us come boldly." Remember, this is where we're coming. "Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy, and find help in a time of need." And that's what Job is doing right here. He's got a need. He's coming boldly to the throne of grace. He's come there to plead with God Almighty. And that's where we make our appeal, at a throne of grace. And look what a solemn request that he says here in verse 20. "Only do not two things unto me." Two things, Lord, don't do this to me. "Then I not hide myself from thee." And here's the two things that he's talking about. He said, withdraw thy hand far from thee. What he says, remove your hand from this bodily, you know, because your hand's so heavy upon me. I have this bodily pain. I have this torment that I'm going through. He said, remove this mental torment. Remove this body, this pain, this torment, this misery that I'm going through. Remove it. Two things. Oh God, remember me. He said, let not your dread make me afraid. And what he's talking about, to remove the mental terror of my mind. Now you know, here's a man We know what he's been through. And he can't, you know, you don't get over things so quickly, especially as much as he lost. And he's in a great bodily pain. His body is hurting. Remember, he's very sick, sitting in the ashes, scraping his boils with a potsherd. And then he had this mental terror. Lord, is this going to happen again? That which I dread and feared the most came upon me, he said. And he said, Lord, let not thy dread, withdraw your hand from me, let not thy dread make me afraid. Let not my, what you're going to do to me today or tomorrow, make me not afraid. Not have this mental fear that I have. Then he says in then, withdraw thy hand from me and let not thy dread make me afraid. And all he says, oh my, and then I won't hide myself. He said in verse 20, then will I not hide myself from you. I won't hide myself. I won't be afraid to speak unto you. Now, we know that this is figurative language. He can't hide from God. Nobody can hide from God. But what he's saying is, he said, I'm so afraid, I'm so troubled, that I can't even come into your presence. I'm in such a situation here. He said, if you'll do these things for me, take the bodily pain, take the dread off of me, take the terror off of me, take the mental anguish off of me, then I won't hide myself, I won't be afraid to speak to you, and one won't be afraid. And what he said, in the condition I'm in, I can't think clearly. I can't think clearly. And now I tell you, you know, therefore God, I mean, you know, the earth shakes and the earth trembles at God Almighty. And I tell you what, Moses said when he said, I'm exceedingly fear and quake. But no matter what shape we're in, what condition we're in, we can always appeal to God himself. We can always go to heaven. And I tell you what, that's where we're really, truly known. Regardless of what others say about us, regardless of what accusations men may make against us, how much Satan accuses us, and our own hearts bother us. John said this, if our heart condemns us, God's greater. If our heart condemns us of something we've said or something we've done or some way we've acted, said God is greater. So he knows exactly what we've done. And he said, if our heart condemns us not, if our heart condemns us not, then we have some confidence. We have some confidence. And you know this as well as I do. When you're sick and your body's weak and you're depressed in your mind and you have a troubled mind, and things are going on in your heart, in your life, in your mind, you're troubled, and you got great obstacles. And you know that when you're sick and weak and troubled in body, you know how hard it is to seek the Lord? It really is. When you're really, really sick, when your body is so weak, your mind is so weak, your mind has depression and torment in it, these are great, great obstacles to seeking the Lord. And that's why Job said, if you relieve me of these two things, if you relieve me of this bodily pain and this fear that I have, he said, I'll lay out my case before you, knowing you'll do exactly what's right. And that's what he says then in verse 22. Look what he says. Well, let me say this before I go to verse 22. You know, this is the reason men shouldn't put off seeking the Lord till they're terribly sick or on their deathbed. That's a dangerous thing to do. Dangerous thing to do. Men put it off and put it off and put it off. And then they wait till they're sick or in their deathbeds. And here's Job. Here's a great, great man who finds it in his heart to talk to God because of his affliction. Ask God to have mercy and do a couple of things for him. How much less an unconverted man when he's sick and dying would he seek the Lord? When we find it hard, when we're sick, when we're weak, and we're weary. That no wonder the psalmist said, today, right now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not in the morning. Don't wait till you get the bad news. Heard about a young man this week, very young man, got two wonderful children. They diagnosed him with cancer last week. 2 years. 2 years, a young man. But he spent his life seeking the Lord, so you don't have to deal with this. But when you get so sick that you can't think, when you get so sick that you can't get out of the bed, when you get so sick all you can think about is your pain, you can't seek the Lord. And I tell you what, if you know Him, you can rest assured that He knows where you're at. And when he raises you back up, you'll bless Him for it. If He takes you out, you'll bless Him for that too. But today, that's why we get up every day and we say, Lord, today is the day of my salvation. And it's a lot nearer than it was yesterday. And here's a solemn, look what he does. He inquires of the Lord. Here in verse 22, he says this, then call thou, Lord, call on me. Call me, and I'll answer. Lord, you speak to me, and I'll answer. I'll speak to you. I'll answer you. Oh, more. Let me speak. And Lord, when I speak to you, would you please come down and answer me? Would you hear my cry? Would you answer me? He said, Lord, if you call on me, I'm going to call back. I'll answer you. Call me, and I'll come. Call me and I'll answer. Call me and I'll bow. Call me and I'll acknowledge you. And I'll submit to you. But Lord, if I speak to you, if I call on you, would you please answer me? Would you answer me? That's what he's asking here. Oh my. And then look what two things he said here. How many are mine iniquities and my sins? Make me to know my transgression and my sin. Oh my. Two things here. Oh my. His sins. He said, how many are there, Lord? How many are my iniquities and my sins? How many do I have? Make me to know my transgressions. That's what he says. Make me to know them. David said the same thing. Oh, Lord. What Job's saying here said, I'm ignorant of them. I'm ignorant of them. I've got so many, there's no way in the world I could count them. I don't have any idea how many they are. And I've said this before, we don't have any idea how many sins we commit, how many transgressions we make, that we're never even conscious of. We don't know we've done it. And that's why it's such a blessed, blessed thing that the gospel tells us that our Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin once and for all. He put away our sin before you and I were. He put away our sins that we're going to do today, and He put away our sins that we're going to do tomorrow. He put away the sins that we're going to commit on our dying bed with unbelief. He put them all away. And I tell you what, that's why he said, Lord, I don't know how many my sins are, but I know who takes care of them. And Lord, make me to know how sinful I am, how my transgressions are, and how great they are. Make me to know. He said, I'm ignorant of him. His friends were telling him what an awful sinner he was. Job, God would have done this to you if you was living a righteous life. His wife told him to give up his integrity and just go ahead and die. His friends were telling him how great their sins were and how numerous they were. But God, you show me. You show me. Lay it out before me. And here's what he's saying. Lord, I'm willing to know the worst of myself. Because they're going to come out sooner or later. Huh? And Lord, let me know now. And he just got through saying it, God will justify him. Oh my. And then look what he said. There he said, thou knowest them, Lord. He said there in verse 25. He says, thou knowest them. Oh my. Oh, listen, let me show you a couple verses of scripture. You keep Job there. Look over in Psalm 19. Look in Psalm 19 with me. Talking about the Lord, he knows them. He said, Lord, make me to know them. Look in Psalm 19 with me. Look what he says over here. Talking about, Lord, thou knowest them. No one's escaped your eye. David said this, you know, this is the psalmist David. He started talking about how God's heavens declare his God, declare his glory, and the firm assure his handiwork. And then look what he said in verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Who can? Most of us, we don't understand them. You know why we don't understand them? If we ain't careful, we'll try to justify ourselves. Make ourselves look better. But who can understand his errors? Then he says, Lord, cleanse me from secret faults. Faults that's even secret to me that I don't know what they are. You take care of them. Take care of them. And then he goes on to say, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let not them have dominion over me. Please don't do that. Then look over in Psalm 90 in verse 8. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Look what he said here. Psalm 90 and verse 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. Oh my, that's what Job said, Lord. My sins are so many. I don't know them. But God said, he said he's got his secret sins right before his countenance. Oh my. Oh, nothing's escaped his eye. And ain't you grateful? I am. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that God himself says their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And then look what he's suffering. Talks about his suffering. Talk about his sin. Now he's going to start talking about his sufferings. In verse 24. Wherefore hidest thou thy face? Oh, where do you hide your face from and holdest me for your enemy? Oh my, when he had lost all, you remember when he lost everything. He shaved his head and bowed before the Lord and said, the Lord hath given, the Lord hath taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. And then he, second time, you know, in this, he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked shall I go. And here he had lost everything, but yet he blessed the Lord. And when it causes him, and what it is causing him to plead with God. And this is the thing that bothered him as much as anything, that God hid his face from him. Why are you hiding your face from me? Listen, anything, if God wants to chastise us, really wants to chastise us, and make us miserable for a few days, just hide his face. Just hide his face. Don't look your way. Don't think it, you know, just not make the heavens brass. Make your words to be a struggle. Make your prayers to be a burden. And there you are, and oh God, please, please, please. That's why David said, oh Lord, cause your face to come down here and shine on us. But he said, Lord, why are you hiding your face from me? Oh, the presence, the power, and the approval of God makes the greatest afflictions bearable. It's the only thing that can make them bearable. But I tell you what, when he withdraws his presence, oh my, That makes the least things unbearable. Look in Psalm 77 with me. You know, there's people, I don't know about you, but when God, do you ever come to services and come three or four services and get nothing out of it? Feel like you're lifeless? Feel like you're dead? Psalm 77. Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like you come and you just don't get anything? And you know, and the first thing you say is, Lord, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? And you go through that four or five services, and then you'll say, Lord, where you at? Where you at? Look what he said here in Psalm 77 and verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be no more favorable no more? Will it be no favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promises fail forevermore? This is the King of Israel saying this. Oh my. Is he not going to be faithful anymore? Is his mercy clean gone? Is his promises failed forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Oh, what questions. What questions. You can't miss something you ain't never had. When God shuts up the heavens, turns off the mercies, and turns off the grace, and leaves you to struggle. And this is what David's going through right then and there. And oh my, then look over here in Psalm 88. Psalm 88. Verse 7. He says, thy wrath lieth hard upon me. And he said, oh my. And thou hast afflicted me with all my waves. You just caused wave of trouble to come over me. And look what he says down in verse 15 and 16. I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. Thy fierce wrath over me, thy terrors have cut me off. Oh my. He says, your terrors have cut me off. And then back over here in Job. Job said, Lord, have you hid your face from me? Why do you hide your face from me? And do you hold me as your enemy? Do you really hold me as your enemy? Lord, do you? Do you hold me as your enemy? You made me your enemy? Look what he said over here in chapter 6 and verse 4. I know I'm having you look at several things, but these things explain some of these things that this man's going through. Look in verse 4. For the arrows of the Almighty are within me. The poison whereof drinketh up my spirit. The terrors of God do set themselves in array against me. He said, God set himself against me. And then look what he said in chapter 7, verse 20. He said, I have sinned. What shall I do unto thee? O thou preserver of men, why hast thou set me as a mark against thee, so that I am a burden to myself? I'm a burden to myself. Huh? And then look what he says in verse 25. He said, wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? Wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? And what Job is saying here, is this worthy of you? He said, I'm like a leaf. I'm as frail as a leaf. Is it to your honor to take a leaf and trample on a leaf and blow it about until it's broken? Is this worthy of your honor to trample upon one that's down already, or crush one who neither has nor pretends to have any power to resist you? I'm just like dry stubble. I'm just like a leaf thrown here and yonder. Is that to your honor to treat me that way, Lord? I'm just dry stubble. I got no power to resist you. I'm like a leaf. I got no power to resist you. Is this worthy of you? And then he said in verse 26, oh, what a sad, sad complaint over his sins, the sins of his youth. He said, for thou writest bitter things against me, and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Oh, what a sad complaint over his sins, the sins of his youth. And when he said, you write bitter things against me, and afflictions and the troubles he went through were very, very bitter. You remember Naomi went down to Moab, and she went down full, and she came back empty, and said, call me Naomi no more. Call me Mara, for I'm bitter. My life is bitter. My life has been bitter. And that's what Job is saying. You write bitter things against me. And when he talks about writing, he's writing about, he says that you're deliberate and you're determined. That's what he means. He said, you've got it written down about me. And he says, you make me to possess the sins of my youth. The sins of my youth. You know, I don't know about you, but there's lots and lots and lots of times in my life, and not too far off, and it may happen again, I'll wake up in the night and I'll think about sins I committed when I was 12 or 13, 14, 15, 18, 20. I remember them vividly. And they just come to me, and every time they come to me, they come to me, and I say, Lord, I'm so ashamed, and I start asking God, please forgive me. You know, David said it like this, my sins are ever before me. And you know why God makes these sins come to mind and come to our understanding sometimes? It's to make us understand how desperately we need Him. How desperately we need Him. You know, like I said, there's so many sins that we don't even know we commit. But when you can remember sins that you did, sins that you committed, and they're so horrible and so bad and so wicked and so black and so dark that they come to your mind, that makes you automatically say, oh God, forgive me. I'm so sorry. I'm so ashamed of that. And that's what David said. That's what Job said here. So look, you make me to remember the sins of my youth. Oh my. And I tell you something, we are today. We are what we are today because of what we were yesterday. If we didn't have sins back there, we wouldn't have grace today. If we didn't have sins, we wouldn't need grace. And I tell you one thing, like I said this morning, it's where I'm going to drive my stake down. Paul said in Hebrews, he says, you know, holding your confidence steadfast unto the end. And I tell you what confidence do I have that I came to God as a sinner? Christ received me as a sinner. He healed me of my sins, and because I come to Him as a sinner, and I keep coming over and over and over, coming just to, that's the beginning of my confidence, and my confidence when I leave this world that Christ came into this world to save sinners. Yeah. He died for sinners. And I don't know much about me, but I do know I'm the one of them. And that's where I heard a fellow tell me, he said, that's too simple. And it may be, but that's where I'm staying. That's where I'm staying. And you know how I know I'm a sinner? God's Word says I'm one. God's Word says I'm one. I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. My conscience tells me I'm a sinner. My heart tells me I'm a sinner. My actions tell me I'm a sinner. And then if I, like you said tonight, praying about God's word, what confidence, the only confidence and assurance we have is what he gives us in his word. And he said, he that cometh to me, and all that had need of healing came to him, and he healed them. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Told Mary, said, your sins which are many are forgiven you. And my sins which are many, they're forgiven. And that's why Job said, you make him remember the sins of my youth. And we are today because what we was yesterday, back in our past. We could not have got here without starting back there to get here. You understand what I'm saying? And I had Job saying here, they shame me. They hurt me. They shame us. They hurt us. And what we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap to the flesh. But look what he said here again in verse 27 and 28. He said, you put my feet in stocks and lookest narrowly unto my paths. Thou hast set a print upon the heels of my feet, and he as a rotten thing consumeth as a moth garment that is moth eaten. And what he's saying here is, you set my suffering right out where everybody can see me. Said that right here. You set me forth publicly for all to see. You've exposed me to shame. He said, you look narrowly on my path. You look narrowly. You've got my path narrowly down here. This is Job's melancholy thoughts. He knows God's not such a hard taskmaster, but he's so down, so melancholy here. And he said, you set a print upon my heels. He said, you can see where I set my feet. That's what he said. He said, you can see where I set my feet. You see where I set my print. And then when he put his feet in the stocks, he says, you've hobbled me like a slave. And you marked my prints and you marked my heels. And that's why he said, you know, oh Lord, you washed the print. You know that where I set my feet. And how we ought to ponder the path of our own feet. And then look what he said about himself and said about man. He said, and he, man, as a rotten thing, consumeth away as a garment that is moth-eaten. He said, man is rotten. Man is a rotten thing. He's being consumed like a moth eats on a garment, eats holes in a garment, and destroys a garment. He said, that's the way we are. That's what he said. And we consume. We're consumed. And I tell you what, and he was under the heavy hand of God. And he says, I'm consuming away. I'm consuming away. And brethren, my brothers and sisters, we're all consuming away. Obi and Stacia told me yesterday that Aubrey was 18 years old. I just didn't register with my brain. I just didn't. I can't imagine her being born 18 years ago. There's so many things you can't imagine. But we're just slowly but surely consuming away. And that's all right. But oh God, and this is what we ought to always pray, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Please don't hide your face. Don't hide your face. Our Father, our great, glorious, blessed God in heaven, full of mercy, oh, full of mercy. And Lord, we understand to some degree what Job is going through. We've all had our dark days. We've all had our bodily pain, and we've all had distress of mind. We've all suffered some depression, darkness. We've all suffered unbelief. But, oh Lord God, please, please, hide not your face from us. Look on us, oh God, and look on us for Christ's sake. Look on us for His worth, His righteousness, His merit. But Lord, if You're pleased to hide Your face, give us the grace to believe and give us the grace to keep on looking, trusting, and believing. No matter how dark the day, how hard the trial, how troubled the heart is, and how weak the mind becomes. Oh God, oh God, help us always to look to You no matter what happens in this world. We bless and praise Your holy name. God bless these dear saints. Keep them and preserve them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. I think I need Thee every hour. What is that? 118? What is that? 133 or what? I need Thee every hour. 318. Let's stand together and sing that. I need Thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like mine can peace afford. I need Thee, I need Thee. Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour. Stay Thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when Thou art nigh. I need Thee, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need Thee, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. I need Thee every hour, most holy One. Oh, make me Thine indeed, Thou blessed Son. I need Thee, oh, I need Thee, every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to Thee. Boy, we do need Him, don't we? Oh, how we need Him. Good night, God bless you. See you Wednesday, Lord willing.